Steve Sullivan.
Well, thank you.
All right, boys.
It's a little bit surreal to have Jim do that intro. I sit out there and wonder every week, does Rex have a real job? I don't know how he does it, and Baz is simply the best. I have not had a better friend. I'm kind of a nervous guy when it comes to ideas, and he's been the steadying force. And when I looked at my name on the list, and he asked me at first, started looking down there, and I saw, you know, Brett Bielema, the Cowboys. And I said, what's he thinking? The good news, it was 13 weeks away, and I look at that Razorback schedule, and it's Alabama next year, it's LSU, it's Ole Miss, and Nickel State is coming probably to Little Rock. So Nickel State right here. you got to know who you are. Popeye, they don't get any better than Popeye. And he was on a mission for 13 weeks. He said he'd have that limousine here, and he said he'd fill it. I don't know how many trips to Channel 7 to Mark Rose's office he made, but he pulled them in. And his last trip was to my house to make sure my wife, Tony, got here. And she heard I was speaking to the Touchdown Club, and she heard me brag about all the great speakers and said, boy, I'm scared. I think of those numbers and how long I've been in the business, 30 years, and Justin Akery just asked me what are some of the great highlights, and I've been blessed to experience some great moments, and you don't appreciate them fully while you're going through them, but I go back to 1994 and 95. Went to every stop of the way when the Razorbacks won the national championship, then went back to the championship game. And what a unique team. Nolan Richardson was a unique man with a unique style. We had one star player on those teams, Corliss Williamson. And I was talking to Mike Anderson last year, and I said, have you ever thought, you know, when you've gone on from coaching, that may never happen again. And how special that was to watch them. And college basketball's changed. And you go back when they beat that North Carolina team. Arkansas was not playing well in 1995 in the tournament. They were getting lucky at each stop. And I looked at that North Carolina team, and I saw Rasheed Wallace, and I saw Jerry Stackhouse, and I said, no way. Arkansas beat North Carolina. I won't mention what happened in the other game. But that's obviously one of the highlights. And the big thrill for me as a sportscaster is sharing something you haven't seen. And the more spectacular, the more fun. And I go back to many years ago when I was at Channel 4, and I was looking for a story, and a guy told me to go to Russellville. There was this phenom. And this is before they did all these stories on sixth graders and seventh graders. And said, you got to see this kid. So I go into Gardner Junior High, and I see two men going one-on-one. And one was Corliss Williamson. In eighth grade, he was 6'6". So I'm saying, wow. And, you know, it gets into perspective when you see the other eighth and ninth graders. And kids back then weren't as big as they are now, and they were like little kids. And then he goes up and shatters the backboard. I don't think it's ever happened again, and I am so all over the place that I never saved the video. And but hopefully Corliss has it. But what a great moment, and that's something that stick with me the rest of my life. And this third thing, Rob Thomas is head of our promotions department, and he came up to me last year and he said, we have a promotional campaign, and we're going to make you a high school football star. He said, would you be all right with that? And I was deep down saying, yeah. The bigger, the better. And so what I didn't know, I didn't see it till it was a finished product. And they went to my all-time favorite coach. They searched video, and they made it almost, and I guess it is, believable. I want you to show you a little Stevie football if you haven't seen it.
World, Steve Sullivan was the Johnny Football of his time. A lot of people referred to him as Stevie Football. Steve actually rushed one year for over 5,000 yards. He had a sprained ankle at that time, but I think he'd had a real good year.
Mr. High School Football in Arkansas, Steve Sullivan, and Friday Night Touchdowns. Yeah.
Great job. We have another one with Keith Jackson. After we saw Keith Jackson, I said, who's next? I was enjoying them so much, but it's been so much fun. My mother-in-law wasn't sure if it was real. Christina Munoz thought it was real. And I've gotten to the point where I've enjoyed it so much. We have the sweetest people who clean the building, Arthur and his wife, Betty. And Arthur came up to me the other day and said, Betty was so excited to see your career. And I thought about it, and I said, why ruin it for her? And I really hesitate when they email me. Some people have searched my bio, and they played for Jimmy Red Parker, and they have, you know, said, I don't remember you. And it really takes a while before I tell them it's not real. But anytime I get a Benton Harmony Grove highlight, I make sure to point out my former coach. And but I came from Massachusetts, hit the jackpot with parents. They have a unique story. Both my parents grew up in Ireland. Didn't learn much about their background growing up because you're busy with your own life. But they were 16, 17 years old, and they decided their future was so desperate that they were going to take a bag of belongings, get on a boat, and go for a better life. And they ended up in the United States in Boston. And my dad always thought that the path to a better life was a good education. In Ireland, they were only allowed to go to eighth grade. And so my passion, you never know, you can do this, you can know this as parents or grandparents, you never know the interest a kid is going to have when he's growing up. Six in my family, I am the only one into sports, and I was just overboard. I mean, I just to where it wasn't healthy. I learned to divide like in the second grade because I want to figure out the batting averages of the 1967 Red Sox and how they did it. When a guy batted 333, I want to know how they came to that number. On a paper route, I don't know if those people liked me, but it was a different era. It was when people got to know their paper boy. And someone, I thought they liked me. My parents thought maybe they just dumped these on me, but they gave me three roosters. I thought they were baby chickens. I had no idea. They started crowing, and my dad told me that roosters fight, so I named them the big one, George Foreman. The middle one was Muhammad Ali, and the third one, the little one, was Joe Frazier. So he'd give an idea of where my where I was as far as a sports fan over the top. But let's fast forward. I'm in high school. I'm not a great baseball player, and I want to stay in sports. And my dad was desperately wanting to win. We didn't have a lot of money for six kids. My dad worked in a factory. My mom worked 10 to 6 in the morning as a nurse's aide. There were six of us. So any money we could scrape up for college would be good. So my dad was desperately, he worked at Denison Manufacturing Company. They had a few scholarships. And we had been shut out in the first two. And his goal with one of those six kids was to win that scholarship. I had about a B average, but I said, I don't think my chances are very good. He said, no, he said, you're going to go in there and tell them you're going to be the future voice of the Boston Red Sox. You're going to give them a home run call. It's June, the Red Sox are playing good, and you're going to win that scholarship. And guess who won the Denison Manufacturing Scholarship? So when you get that kind of belief, and I've learned in this business, all it takes is one person to believe in you. So then I decided to pursue a broadcasting career. Jim mentioned, I had a buddy call me. He was an assistant at a Greyhound park for a trainer. And the dog got its muzzle off, and things got ugly. The guy was going to kill the dog. And the guy said, no, I want to buy it. So he calls me one night. If you have $400, we can go half and half on a Greyhound. So I say, we could make thousands. So I say, why not? So I start searching for, you can get two of the things right. It had to be close to a racetrack. It had to have radio TV, and it had to be cheap. So I had never been outside of Massachusetts. And sight unseen, I end up in Jonesboro. And real quick, I tried to, you know, the one thing you come from New England, it's runner, you know, and fada. I quickly dropped my G's and went running, fishing. Quick story about that. My daughter was in AP English, and she's a native Arkansan, but she put in one of her papers, and my wife was perusing the paper, she put fixin' in. She said, what about this? My daughter said, well, I'll put the two in, fixin' two. True story, that did happen. Ended up in Jonesboro, you think you're pretty good getting out of college, and had one offer, and it was morning news, and it was probably the lowest possible job you could have at a radio station. I was doing play-by-play. I got the first play-by-play job, which is definitely my passion, for Fort Smith Christian High School, and one of the guys on the basketball team was Gus Malzahn. He was actually the star of the team, and of course, with Gus on the team, you win. So Fort Smith Christian Eagles, and I was doing news updates on old 8-track tapes. And you can put multiple newscasts on the tape, but if you mess up, you have to start all over. And I was going to play golf that afternoon, And I think I could fit six on there. I got five done. And if anybody knows me, I don't swear very often. And I got to the fifth one, and I messed up a word. I repeated that word 30 times and said, oh, the worst possible word you can think of. A Wheel of Fortune, you'd have no problem finding it. It's an F, and it's four letters. Oh, yeah, it was bad. So the guy that was working behind me said, no problem. He said, I'll just fast forward through that, and we'll run your first five. Didn't happen. So I get called in. You know, you're making $800 a month, and no one knows who you are. And I was lucky. My boss was an eccentric millionaire. He brought me in. I'm scared to death. Bob Hernreich. He actually owns part of the Sacramento Kings now. But he says, you know, we had about 35 calls, and it was music of your life. I mean, it was 30s, 40s music. It was 3 in the afternoon. And he said, we had 35 people that were just totally appalled. He said, and the one lady that enjoyed it, we preferred she not listen to our station. And so he said, and this is important. He goes, but out of the 35 people that called, not one mentioned you by name. You were just a voice doing the news. So he said, obviously, I can't put that voice back on the news radio, but I want to move you over to the TV part. So I don't know how that launched the career, but... But 3 years, and I got a chance to go to Channel 4. That was the heyday of Little Rock TV, and I worked with the greatest people at Channel 4, greatest mentors ever, when you had Roy Mitchell, Carolyn Long, Tom Bonner, Dave Woodman. It was just us, and they started, knew we couldn't beat the Razorbacks. Paul had the Razorbacks over at Channel 7, so my passion was high school football, and they started Friday night flights over there. We put a big 300-pound guy in a helicopter, and he was like a WWF wrestling star, and had these young photographers, and we had so much fun on Friday nights. And it kind of collided with the time where there was Basile Shabazz at Pine Bluff, there was Madre Hill at Malvern. We had all these great players, and it was just, I had a blast. And stayed there for 14 years, and then probably the greatest thing that was going on at that time, it was like Channel 7 and Channel 4 were like the Hatfields and the McCoys. It was, and if I can steal your anchor, I'm going to do it. And Barry Brandt and I got thrown a life raft, and Channel 4 was heading down. We got to go over to Channel 7. And I'll be honest with you, when I first made the move to Channel 7, it had nothing to do with Paul Eales. It was all about getting to do more sports. But the first year, I had to sit out, which is hard to believe. They actually had a year non-compete, but I was kind of Paul Eales' photographer. So I'd go every place with Paul. And he'd make me feel like the most important guy from Channel 7 that was on the assignment. And, you know, I can say, you know, you can go over and over about Paul. And, you know, one thing he'd say, I watch a Channel 4, and he would say at the end of every newscast, have a great, safe rest of the night. And I'd really look at him, and, you know, some things people say on TV, they say it because it sounds good and it'll resonate well. And I get over at Channel 7, I think he really believed that every time he said it, you know, and that was just so genuine. And in a business that you can get wrapped up in yourself and seeing promos like Stevie Football and stuff like that, Paul was always about the other guy. And if I had one great contribution at Channel 7, when I started anchoring, I started on Monday nights running Paul's calls. And Paul said, you don't have to do that. And I said, Paul, I'm making my show better. I said, it's your call. But nobody, I guess no Arkansas touchdown was complete until you listened to how Paul called the touchdown. And even when he was fading a little in his later years, no one got a team to the end zone better than Paul Eales. And I think he had all the elements you want of a great play-by-play guy. Not only had a great voice, and I think for a home team, and this is something I think you got to have a great passion for not only the sport, your team, and they came out in their touchdown calls. And I want to start one clip from Paul. He had two words that could raise the spirits of an entire state. We haven't heard them too much this year, but if we're going to run. A little time between each clip here. Most anxious time.
Guys, ready to start our meeting. Y'all all know the voice of the Razorbacks, Paul Eales. He's just got a few things to say to you.
Hey, thank you, Coach. I appreciate it. Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you.
Touchdown, Arkansas!
And I also picked two calls from Paul. And as you watch this first call, I want you to think of it as a broadcaster. And I think the goal of a play-by-play guy is to create a visual picture of what's going on, and then describe the play, and get the emotion right. And what I struggle with sometimes in my calls is clarity at the end of calls. You know, one thing Paul would keep the emotion and keep it under control. I get so emotional that by the end, you know, it's like, boy, if you just turned on, you think, what the heck is going on? You know, something big happened. You don't know exactly what happened. But I have two of my favorite Paul's calls here. And the first one, just listen to the emotion, to the exact detail going and describing it. Say if you're listening on the radio, and it's the Sterner to Lucas play.
Lucas and Smith, who made that great catch, split wide to the left. Cobb's your tailback. Coidra steps off the line of scrimmage. Second and eight, Arkansas at the Tennessee 23-yard line. Poitras in motion. Sterner, play action. Looking, pumps. Throws down the middle. Touchdown, Arkansas! Oh, my! Lucas goes up, makes the catch, and the Hogs take the lead in this ballgame, 27-24.
Jones now throwing to the end zone, and it is complete!
And nothing was ever planned with Paul. I mean, that was just to get the pure emotion, and that was at the back end, 1999, of his play-by-play, and he was still that good. All right, I think you're under an influence when you're a play-by-play guy of where you grow up and the guy you listen to when you grow up. And I was thinking if I grew up on the West Coast or maybe in the middle of the United States, it might be Jack Buck and I might be a different announcer. I want to play a guy now that I think is the all-time best, and I think I'd be a different broadcaster if I grew up listening to this guy all the time. I shouldn't have put it much later.
And a high fly ball into deep left center. Havana, Cuba has arrived. And we have a 5-5 tie. And the fly ball to deep right blanks to the track. It is gone. He has hit another one. Que viva Cuba. Viva Puig. And it's 8-6, Dodgers, can you believe it?
Imagine what a pleasure listening to someone like that call games. Now, the next guy you're going to hear, and there's a little space between this one, and he is from a totally different style of broadcasting, but I revered him growing up, and he's a Boston icon, and I thought he was the greatest thing ever. I was really disappointed. I saw him at a barbershop one time that it was like, that's my guy. I wish I had never seen him. And the way he acted there, but just his emotion, and he was our guy.
Hi there, sports fans. This is Johnny Murphy reporting for the Boston Celtics.
And we're starting to see the bang-bang stuff now. Rodman is all over Bird.
And there is a violent knocked down by Lambert. Oh, my. A completely unnecessary foul by Lambert, and he has the audacity to complain about something. They have been called a dirty ball club, and I can see why. This is a typical disgusting display by Rodman, Lambert, and Isaiah Thomas. The yellow, gutless way they do things here.
Now the other Lord Fauntleroy's coming in, the other good guy coming in, Rick Mahorn, the guy who hit people from behind.
I have a great deal of contempt and disrespect for this kid right now because of the blindside swipe he took at Bird. It was Dennis Rodman, and he sneers. He didn't do it because he's a goody good boy. He wouldn't do something nasty like that. Dennis Rodman did not incur my respect anyway. In fact, tell that to these miserable Detroit media people because they called me Jerk of the Week. Well, fine, I'll be a Jerk of the Week, but I'll be myself. I wouldn't be like them for all the money in the world.
There he is. And unfortunately, my wife said, man, he's mean. And I said, no, he's just passionate. And I had a Johnny Most moment last Saturday when UCA got a few calls and bad calls. And I didn't want to mock him, but it was just kind of like insult on top of injury. And the official was announcing the last penalty, and he was stuttering, getting it out. And I kind of continued his pattern before it got back to me. And it was not a good moment, but it was kind of like instincts. The Johnny Most instincts took over. I see Kevin Jones here. My passion's high school football. Love high school football. Don't love Greenwood, but I love high school football. Oh, yeah. His dad's a great coach. I mean, they aren't just extending that winning streak. They're beating big 7A schools, which they shouldn't have to do. I'd get in that another time. But I have so much fun on Friday nights, and I've kind of taken a different tilt. Every Friday, my goal is to, I don't care where you're from, is to make that, if you're watching all three stations and you score a touchdown on each station, that your best touchdown is going to be on Channel 7. Because it may be your only one. If I can find a blocker in front of a guy running, I can mention his name. It's some thought goes into each particular highlight. And it's sometimes a challenge to get the names right. And they'll spell them in just these ways that there's no way you can, I can't determine what they are. I'll go to my coworkers for help. And years ago, it was Pine Bluff. A guy returned two kickoffs for touchdowns, and he spelled his name Deedetron. And I'm thinking it's not Deadetron. I don't know what to call him, and there's no one to call. And this was before Facebook and Twitter, and two kickoffs for touchdowns. And Barry Brandt, greatest assist ever. He goes, why don't you just call him the D-Train? So we never even worried about getting his name right. He was the D-Train. And then I had an El Dorado here recently, and it was M-A-R-Q-U-E. And I was thinking, he's a tailback, and he scored three touchdowns in the highlights. And I think, it can't be Marque. And so I just went with, and I said, how do you spell a touchdown in El Dorado? M-A-R-Q-U-E. Yeah, it was Mark was the name. And I'll give you where your challenge on trying to make it a big moment was, and we try to pick the games. You'll see they're strategically picked by who cares about their game and what are the most important to our viewing area. So you're going to see a lot of games from around Pulaski County. You're going to see Bryant and Benton, who really care about their football, Conway and Cabot. But by virtue of being, some guys got to pick up two games. Gene is here, one of our photographers. You got to pick up a game on the way back. So someone's O had to go last Friday night. It was North Pulaski against McClellan, both 0-8. So someone had to win. Number 22 made two incredible runs for North Pulaski. They had a handwritten roster. No one could, we couldn't figure out what the name was. We had all sorts of people just trying to put our heads together, and he's got two touchdowns. So we went on Facebook and got his name right, and it's, I think it was Shalice something, but I made the biggest deal out of that kid's two runs because I figured at North Pulaski at 0-9, this is it. This is it. This is the last time he's going to get a shot to be on. But I was looking the other day at most viewed videos over the weekend, and it was North Pulaski McClellan. He may have watched it 3,000 times, but he's watched that video more than any other video. But you just never know. And as far as sports now and how it's changed over the years, I don't like some things that have happened in major college football. I remember years ago the contact you had with coaches. Danny Ford one time at practice, someone probably doesn't know this, he had Paul Ears make a beer run during practice one time. True story. He did a coach's show, Paul did one time, with Eddie Sutton in a hot tub. Nolan Richardson let us in the locker room for every Razorback basketball game, Channel 7, for every Razorback basketball game with the mic on. And you just don't get that kind of contact right now. We're paying these coaches. It's getting ridiculous money. And I just think the more you pay coaches money-wise, the more you could lead to corruption and wanting to keep those jobs. And I think the transparency is gone. They kind of feed you what they want from the university, almost like propaganda. And I don't see that changing, which is kind of a sad deal. On the plus side, I know they're going through a bad time, but I love Coach Bielema. The times I've dealt with him, I almost compare him a little to Nolan Richardson. He's a guy who won previously at the places he was, Wisconsin, and Nolan had a great history. He's very honest, and Nolan was very honest to a fault, and in a way, Bielema can be honest to a fault. Some of the stuff he tweets, but I think he's genuine as far as you're going to get for these coaches these days, has a great plan. And I really think he's going to win. It's really tough right now because we're making fundamental mistakes, not looking good, and no one is more frustrated than him. But when I see those 6'10 offensive linemen that are freshmen, I see Hunter Henry, I see Jonathan Williams, I see Alex Collins. I think there's going to be a great future at the University of Arkansas. I don't know where at time-wise. I've babbled long enough.
If you got any questions for Sully, let's throw it up for just
all right, we're
going
to take a time out now. Our final break here today. Enjoyed listening to Sully tell some stories from up there. Most of those I've heard before, but it's nice to hear him, you know, tell them fresh. When you get a fresh crowd reaction to it after hearing most of these stories over the years, it's always fun. I did not know the story about how the radio career led directly to the TV career. And he told me before about the incident. But it was interesting to hear him tell that story again. So, Phil, we'll take the final time out here. And let me check something here real quick. I do know we need to take care of a little bit of business, folks. And we appreciate all the fine sponsors out there who help us bring this show to you every day. And I know some people would prefer that they stop contributing so we can stop bringing you the show. But you know what? Hopefully that won't happen.
Keep bringing it.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Luckily, this is not a prognostication show, because if that was the deal, we would be failing really miserably. Another bad week picking games, but I did lead the way this week, finally a little catching up, so I'm not in last anymore, but I'm a long way from first.
Did you get picks from Vickery this week?
Yeah, I did, actually.
You had to beg for them.
Yes, and he's not in last place either. My man Tim and the folks at the All New Lander Chevrolet